We read in the Catechism, which is the sixth petition. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is, since we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand a moment, and besides this, since our mortal enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, cease not to assault us, do thou, therefore, preserve and strengthen us by the power of thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare, but constantly and strenuously may resist our foes, till at last we obtain a complete victory. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we return again to our Lord's model prayer, the final two petitions, the fifth and the sixth, teach us to pray for our salvation, which is our greatest spiritual need. To pray for our salvation. And that is so very important, not because we must pray daily that our salvation be secured and obtained, that has already taken place through the great work of Jesus Christ, our mediator, when he suffered and died for us and rose again for us. On the cross, Christ obtained for us all spiritual blessings, life eternal and glory. But it remains for those blessings to be imparted to us and applied to us each day through the operation of the Holy Spirit. Our salvation, which has been obtained by Christ on the cross, must now be applied to us by our ascended Savior from heaven by the agency of His Holy Spirit, using the tool of His Word. And that, then, is what the Lord's Prayer focuses our attention on in petition number 5 and in petition number 6, the application of the benefits of salvation. Last week, we looked at the fifth petition in which we pray our Father to bestow upon us that chief blessing of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. It is a prayer for our justification, that our Father would not impute to us our sins, but rather freely forgive them for the sake of Jesus Christ, and also freely impute to us the righteousness of Christ. But the model prayer cannot end there. The prayer for forgiveness, as important as it is not yet a prayer for full salvation. The forgiveness of sins is the chief blessing of salvation, yes. Justification by faith alone is the heart of the gospel. It lays the legal foundation for all of our salvation. But more must follow. The sixth petition must follow the fifth petition. Something must follow the forgiveness of our sins. And what must follow is this: full deliverance from all evil. Deliverance from our indwelling sin, the pollution and corruption of sin. Deliverance from all of the attacks of our enemies who daily strive against us. Deliverance from all evil. As salvation is worked in us by the Holy Spirit, God forgives our sins. He declares us righteous in Christ. And on the basis of that justification, the Spirit gets to work inside of us, sanctifying us, day by day renewing us in the image of Christ, strengthening us to fight our spiritual warfare until at last we obtain perfect and complete victory. And so that is the subject matter of the petition before us. That is the grand subject matter of the sixth petition and the grand thing that we pray for. Father, grant us nothing less than full deliverance from all evil. The sixth petition is beautifully expressed for us also in Psalm 70. This brief psalm is a psalm that pleads for deliverance. In Psalm 70, the psalmist comes to God confessing his own weakness, that he is poor and needy, that he has many powerful enemies that array themselves against him and that threaten to swallow him up and overcome him, even destroy him. And these are proud, boastful, arrogant enemies that say, aha, aha, as they believe that they are conquering their hapless foe. But the psalmist resorts to God, who is his refuge, his help, and his deliverer. And he cries out for that deliverance in the confidence that he shall surely receive that deliverance. That confidence is ours also. As we come to the last petition, we do so yet in light of the beginning of this prayer, the address, Our Father. We come to our Father, who has saved us by his grace, and we ask him, deliver us from evil, with the full assurance that he will answer our prayer. So let us consider the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer under the theme, praying for our Father's deliverance. We notice in the first place the need that we have for this deliverance. Secondly, the petition that we make for deliverance. And finally, the comfort that we have as we pray for deliverance. The need, the petition, the comfort. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. By teaching us to pray this petition, Jesus teaches us first to recognize the need that we have for deliverance. The Catechism emphasizes that we are in the midst of spiritual warfare. That is the Christian life. In the church militant, in the midst of this world, we are at war. Spiritual warfare. In any warfare, you must know your enemies. You must know yourself. You must know your own strength and capabilities. So too in our spiritual warfare. And thus we must begin here by recognizing the tremendous need that we have for our Father's deliverance. We need deliverance for two main reasons that the Catechism highlights for us. The first is the reality that we have mortal enemies who cease not to assault us each and every day. Mortal enemies. He who is God's child, who has God for his father, who has Christ for his elder brother, who has the Spirit for his comforter, that person has enemies unlike any other. Mortal enemies. Fierce enemies who seek his destruction. And that enemy is called evil. All that is included in that potent word, evil, is your enemy. Because you are God's child, evil is against you. Evil seeks your destruction. And all the powers that belong to evil are against you. The Catechism explains who evil is by unpacking to us that well-known threefold enemy. And we must know our enemies. Your enemy is none other than the evil one. That's a way we can translate evil in the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. He is the one who stands at the head of all of our enemies. And the evil one is the devil himself, Satan, the author of sin, the prince of darkness, the murderer in the beginning, the father of lies, the tempter. He stands at the head of our enemies. We must pray, deliver us from the evil one and know him as our enemy. There's also the evil one's friends, his friend slaves. And that is what the Catechism designates as the world. The world and fallen humanity, which is enthralled by sin. The world and fallen humanity are likewise our enemies, for they are in the bondage of the devil. They are subject to his will. They are his army that he deploys to do his purposes. They are his friend slaves, in miserable bondage to him, yet also in covenant with him. Man, when he fell, entered into covenant with the devil, entered into the willing, miserable slavery to the devil. And now the devil, the evil one, marshals the world against his enemies, the children of God. Finally, there is the evil one's ally inside of you and inside of me, your flesh, the Catechism says. And by referring to flesh here, it's not talking about this physical body per se, but rather the principle of sin that resides within me. My old self in Adam, my old man of sin, my sinful nature. That is Satan's ally inside each and every one of us. And it is our enemy, that old self, which resists God, resists the Word of God, resists the Spirit of God, which hates God and loves sin. and will give itself to the service of the devil. Your enemy you also carry within you. We must know our enemies that we may see our need for deliverance. But we must know yet more about our enemies. These enemies are not mere enemies. They are deadly and dangerous enemies. What descriptive word does the Catechism use to describe these enemies? Mortal enemies. This vicious trio is your mortal enemy. And what is a mortal enemy? Your mortal enemy is the enemy who is intent on killing you. Your mortal enemy is an enemy who hates you so much that his whole being is devoted to your destruction. He cannot rest unless he in some way can harm or oppose you. Your mortal enemy gives everything he has to hurting you. Your mortal enemy relishes whenever he causes you to stumble, whenever he can drag you down or lead you into trouble. Nothing delights him more than your hurt. That's the devil. That's the world. That's your own sinful flesh. This is the spiritual warfare situation in which every child of God finds himself in the midst of this world. We have powerful, mortal enemies who are arrayed against us and seek our destruction. We need deliverance. But now the Catechism goes on, drawing on the Scriptures, and explains to us what these mortal enemies are daily doing. They're busy opposing us. They are ceaselessly assaulting us. Our mortal enemies do not simply threaten us. They do not bluff. No. Every single day they are intent on assaulting us, and they carry out those assaults violently, relentlessly. Satan relentlessly assaults God's people. He is the tempter. He has many devices at his disposal, but temptation, that is one of his favorite, because it is so often very effective. All that he cunningly and deceitfully employs against God's people aims to drag them down into sin. That is the purpose of temptation. It's his favorite murder weapon. It's the weapon he used in the beginning, when he spiritually murdered our first parents, dragging them into sin and death. And it's a weapon that he continues to use today. He's had thousands of years to perfect the art of temptation. Temptation is the proper work of the devil. When the devil tempts, he deceitfully appeals to our sinful flesh in order to entice us to sin. And enticing us to sin, he aims to ensnare us in sin. And having ensnared us in sin, he aims to go yet further and enslave us in sin. That is the tactic of the devil. Entice, ensnare, and enslave. And we can understand why this mortal enemy loves to use this tactic of temptation. The end of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Spiritual and eternal death. Our mortal enemy seeks nothing more than the total destruction of God's people. But along the way, temptation enables him to ensnare persons and drag them into his slavery. Sin is his tool for control. Sin is his tool that he uses to lay hold of his enemies and carry them away captive. Temptation is the favorite weapon in the devil's arsenal. Our mortal enemy wants nothing more than to entangle us in sin and take us away captive with the aim of ruining and destroying us. Satan's temptations, of course, are manifold. He springs them upon us in all different circumstances. He springs them upon us in all different ways. He tempts us to all different sorts of sins. He knows the weaknesses of God's people. He aims to entice us. He lures us with the lie of sin's pleasure. But his tactic is always the same. At the heart of temptation is that great lie that sin is good and that sin will fulfill you. Sin will give you the pleasure your heart desires. In fact, disobeying God is the way to obtain the greatest good. That's the lie of the devil. That's the lie at the heart of all of his temptations. And oh yes, he is deceitful. He transforms himself into an angel of light, comes alongside us and pretends to be our friend as he plants his temptation, arouses sinful thoughts, seeks to influence and urge us to sin against God. That's our mortal enemy, the devil. And he ceaselessly assaults. Day by day, we face those temptations of the devil. But it's not just the devil and his temptations. It's the world that the devil marshals against us. The world, too, ceaselessly assaults God's people. The church militant in the world faces another militant organization. And that's fallen humanity, the army of the devil that is deployed against us. The devil, as he commands his army into battle against the Church of Christ, uses the army of the world in a couple of ways. One way is he uses the army of the world as a tool to tempt. Satan uses the world to tempt the riches, the pleasures of this life, the philosophy, the worldview, a siren call to the church to come and join the world in its riotous living. Satan also uses the world to persecute the church. Whether that persecution comes with the sword in its most extreme form, or whether more commonly it comes through the pressure of culture, the pressure of society to conform to the standards and views and ideas of the world, all of these things are the ceaseless assault of evil against God's people. Then there's that third enemy, that enemy within, which opens us up to the temptations of the devil and to the assaults of the world. We have that enemy within which wants to give in to temptation and wants to conform to the world and buckle under the pressure of the world. We have our sinful flesh, which is so susceptible to the weapons the devil deploys against us. We have within us that pollution and power of sin. Yes, grace has broken the power of sin. We are no longer under the bondage of sin. Yet that principle of sin remains. That old man is still with us. And so we not only have warfare outside of us, but we have warfare within us against that old self. That old self who is always conspiring with the enemies outside of us. War within. Ceaseless assaults from without and from within. That's our spiritual warfare. We need deliverance. But now the Catechism emphasizes a second main reason why we need deliverance. We've looked at the first, the fact that we have enemies who are mortal enemies, and these mortal enemies ceaselessly assault us. But now, alongside of that, there is this reality that we are so weak in ourselves that we cannot stand but for a moment against this vicious trio of our mortal enemies. And our weakness goes back to that third of our enemies. Why are we so weak? It's because of that sinful flesh, that sinful nature, that ally of the devil inside of us. We are weak. Not only must we know our enemies, but we must know ourselves. When you enter into battle, you must know your own capabilities in comparison to the enemy that you face. And when we look at our enemies and we compare ourselves with our enemies, we see what an unequal contest we are in. We are by ourselves nothing in comparison to our enemies. Thus we are far too weak to resist and overcome them, far too weak to resist temptation of ourselves, to resist the pressure of the world, to fight against our own sinful flesh. We must clearly see this and confess this. This is the starting point of praying the sixth petition. Just as the fifth petition had at its starting point a recognition and confession of our sins and sinfulness, so too the sixth petition starts here, recognizing how mighty my enemies are and how weak and unequal I am to them. This humbles us. This humbles us. And being humbled, there is nothing else we can do than turn to our God and pray the prayer of the psalmist. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. I cannot deliver myself. I have no power to stand against my enemies of myself. If left to myself, they will swallow me up and drag me to perdition. Make haste to help me, O Lord. That leads us to the petition. Seeing our need, we make this petition, and it is a cry that comes from the knowledge of our need. I am poor and needy, the psalmist says in verse 5. Make haste unto me. Come quickly, O God. Do not hesitate. Do not delay. Come to my aid, because I cannot stand but for a moment. I need thee right now, each and every moment of every single day. If I am to stand against my enemies and overcome all evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray, using our Lord's words. Now, as the Catechism explains to us this petition for deliverance, let us see here also that the Catechism explains it as having two major parts. In the first place, the sixth petition asks for preservation. Preservation. If we look at question and answer 127, beginning in the middle, where the Catechism explains the positive meaning of the petition, do thou therefore preserve and strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may not be overcome in this spiritual warfare. It's a petition for preservation, that God, by His almighty power, would preserve us, keep us, uphold us in the midst of our spiritual battle, so that these mortal enemies do not gain the victory over us. But then in the second place, the sixth petition is a petition for empowerment. Not only preservation, but empowerment, strength to fight this battle. Continuing in the Catechism where we left off, we pray that God would preserve and strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we may constantly and strenuously resist our foes, fight against them. So let's unpack those two parts of the positive meaning of the petition. First, deliver us from evil. It's a prayer for preservation. First, preservation from temptation. Lead us not into temptation. The sixth petition, Jesus teaches us to acknowledge God's sovereignty, even over temptation. We pray, Father, preserve us from falling into temptation, such that we succumb to it, give into it, and commit sin. Rather, lead us in such a way that we are kept from every snare of the devil. God is absolutely sovereign. Nothing, not even the tempter himself and all of his devices, are outside of the control of God. And that is so important. The error is prevalent today. A kind of dualism which pits God against the devil and sets them up as two independent powers, as it were. Such that God does his thing, but the devil does all his things. He works evil in the world, and it's outside of God's control, and God has to do his best to react to what the devil does, and eventually God will win because God is greater, God is stronger. And that's not the biblical picture. Satan himself cannot so much as move apart from the sovereign will of God. And that's a comfort. The devil is not some independent power wreaking havoc in the world outside of God's control that God has to respond to. The devil is bridled. He's on a leash. And as much as he might kick against God, he can only serve the purposes of our sovereign God. Now, let's be clear. When The devil tempts us to sin. God does not tempt us. Though God is sovereign over temptation, God is never the author or the executor of that temptation. The scriptures make that clear. If you turn to James chapter 1, we look at verses 13 and 14. This is a good passage to remember. If you ever have someone object to the biblical doctrine of God's sovereignty and say that that makes God the author of sin or that makes God the tempter. No, no. Let's see what the Word of God says in James 1, 13 and 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Though God has sovereign power and control over the devil and the tempter, God is not the author of evil. No man can ever say, I had to give in to that temptation and lay the blame at the feet of God. As James instructs us, when we are tempted and when we give in to the devil's temptation, it is our own fault when we fall. Another important verse is 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, which explains to us that God always provides a way of escape from temptation. Which we read now, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. It states, God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Yes, there is a mystery here. Whenever we ponder the sovereignty of God over evil and over sin, there is mystery. We cannot fully wrap our minds around how the holy God is able to use the devil, use sin even as an instrument in his hand for the unfolding of his perfect purposes. But the scriptures teach he does. This truth ought not to lead us into curious prying into things that exceed our ability to understand. This truth ought not to lead us to object to God's sovereignty. It ought not to lead us to complain about God's way of working. It ought to lead us to adore His majesty, adore His greatness, and give thanks. Because He is the God who is able to work all things for our good. If he was not the sovereign God who even ruled the activities of the devil, that would not be true. We ought to adore him because he is the God who is able to work all things for our good. And so often he does it in a way that is exceeding abundantly above what we can think and comprehend. So, to get back to the point, Jesus is teaching us to pray, lead us not into temptation, preserve us from temptation. We acknowledge God's sovereignty. He rules the tempter and the temptations that the tempter brings. And that is why we can pray this petition. If God was not in control, we could not ask him, lead us not into temptation. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, we are asking God, Father, as much as possible, lead me not into circumstances where the devil will tempt me to sin. And whenever it is thy will or thy good pleasure to lead me through temptation. Graciously, Father, lead me in such a way that I do not fall, that I do not stumble. Lead me safely through that temptation. When we pray, lead us not into temptation, we are asking, Father, make that way of escape. And make that way of escape plain to me. And set my feet upon that way of escape. And strengthen me to walk that way of escape. We acknowledge His sovereignty. We acknowledge the reality of temptations. Indeed, they are inevitable in this life. We live in the midst of a sinful world. We have the devil as our enemy. We have our own sinful flesh. You can't get away from temptation. We acknowledge that reality. And we pray, Father, Almighty Father, when I am tempted, deliver me from that temptation. We're looking at the positive meaning of the petition. In the first place, it's a prayer for preservation from evil. It's a prayer for preservation from temptation. But now, also, it is a prayer for preservation from all evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We see how multifaceted the sixth petition is, how much it asks for. It is an expansive petition. Our earnest prayer is that the Father will not allow us to succumb to any sort of evil in our spiritual warfare. We pray, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Thwart all of those ceaseless assaults of the devil, of the world, of my own sinful flesh. Thwart them so that they do not gain the victory over me. Psalm 70, verses 2 and 3. Give voice to this idea. Here the psalmist David prays, let them, he's speaking about his enemies, let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. That's the sixth petition, a prayer for preservation from evil. Father, thwart my enemies. Do not let them gain the upper hand against me. Do not let their attacks and their devices succeed in wounding me or taking hold of me. Expose the snares of the devil. Keep me from putting my feet into those snares. Preserve me from my enemies. Above all, O God, deliver me from that enemy within, my own sinful flesh, that I be not overcome. And that spiritual warfare inside of me. But work in me by thy Holy Spirit to sanctify me more and more, cleansing me of that native pollution, more and more renewing me in the image of Christ. Deliver me from evil. Now, before we go on to the second part of the positive meaning of the petition, our prayer for empowerment, let's see a few applications. Sixth petition is a prayer. It's a prayer that we are to pray. Three ways that we are to pray it. Corporately, personally, and daily. Corporately. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a prayer that we are to pray as a church. Because our mortal enemies are not only our individual enemies, our personal enemies, they are, but they are also the enemies of the whole church. The devil seeks to destroy the church, to transform it into a synagogue of Satan. He seeks to do that through false doctrine. He seeks to do that through the inciting of strife and warfare within the church, and in so many other ways. The church in the midst of the world is ceaselessly assaulted. Our congregation is ceaselessly assaulted. This must be the prayer of us as a congregation and the prayer of each of us individually for our congregation, for our denomination, for the Church Catholic throughout the Lord or throughout the world. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thwart the devices of the devil and all of our enemies. And preserve us, O God, in thy truth, in the gospel, in the peace that the gospel creates. Preserve us in faithfulness to thee. So we must pray this petition corporately, but also personally. Our mortal enemies not only hate the church, but they hate you and me individually. And they seek your destruction and mine. We must know that. And that must lead to urgency in this petition. Father, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. And we must not only pray that generally, but pray it with our own weaknesses and sins in mind. As the Lord illuminates the eyes of our understanding so that we know ourselves and we know our sin and we know our weaknesses, we know our ongoing struggles, we need to pray about those things and seek strength and preserving grace from God. Make mention of that besetting sin to the Lord. Lay before Him that weakness that you have that makes you susceptible to this or that temptation and pray earnestly, Father, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Corporate prayer, personal prayer, thirdly, daily prayer. This petition must be daily. Because our enemies ceaselessly assault us, you are in war every moment of your earthly life. That means we cannot afford to pray this petition once in a while. Prayer is a wonderful gift of God, a means by which He strengthens us, works His grace in us. It is a powerful means that God has given us. We must use it. Pray this petition daily. The Lord will use it to preserve you, to strengthen you in this spiritual warfare. Now we come to the second half of the meaning of the sixth petition. We pray for preservation from temptation and evil, but now secondly, the Catechism explains, we also pray for empowerment, that God would empower us by His Spirit to fight the good fight of faith, to strive and to battle in this spiritual warfare. Let us notice that our spiritual warfare is not passive. Our spiritual warfare is not hunkering down in a bunker and weathering the storm of the ceaseless assaults of our enemies. Our spiritual warfare is not just bracing ourselves for the next temptation, for the next attack of the world, for the next impulse of my sinful nature. Our spiritual warfare is active. We take the field as the citizen soldiers of the kingdom of heaven. We take the field. We are not only attacked, but we wage war against our mortal enemies. We go on the offensive. Spiritual warfare is not merely defensive, it is offensive warfare. Thus, the sixth petition is the Christian warrior's petition. Let's go back to what we saw in the first point. We soldiers are going to battle. We are going into a battle that we cannot stand for a moment in by ourselves. The sixth petition is the Christian warrior's petition in which we pray, Father, the only power that I can have in this battle is Thy power. The only strength is the strength I receive from Thee. Empower me by Thy Spirit. I march into battle with no weapons of my own. Equip me with Thy spiritual armaments. Give me the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is Thy Word, and work in my heart by the Spirit, so that I may wield those spiritual weapons with skill against my spiritual enemies. Sixth petition is the Christian warrior's petition for empowerment to engage in this spiritual warfare and to fight the good fight of faith. Now let's notice two specific things about this petition for empowerment. First, we pray for empowerment to strenuously resist temptation. Not only do we pray, preserve us from temptation, but give us the strength to resist temptation whenever we find ourselves in the midst of it. Sometimes temptations come upon us that are so very powerful. Sometimes temptations come upon us, and we are unable to flee from them for whatever reason. Fleeing, of course, it's not an act of cowardice. Fleeing is what we are to do when we meet temptation, if we are able to do. Sometimes we cannot flee. And then our calling is to fight. To fight. Father, grant me the strength to fight and to resist this temptation. As James 4 verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. God gives us the strength and the grace to fight and resist temptation such that the devil will flee. That's our prayer. Empower me, Father, to resist temptation. There's an application here. Resisting temptation means that we must never willfully expose ourselves to temptation or flirt with temptation. Such is foolishness. Our calling is always to flee that temptation if we are able, not to willfully plunge ourselves into it and toy around with sin. We cannot pray the sixth petition sincerely. If we go through life willfully putting ourselves into temptation, playing around with sin, getting as close as we can, enjoying as much of it as we can, if we live that way, at some point God will chasten us sorely by delivering us over into that temptation. And a melancholy fall will be the tough teacher that we need to teach us never to toy with sin and temptation again. We must never play around with temptation. This means that depending on our particular weaknesses, our circumstances, we may have to deny ourselves things that aren't wrong in and of themselves, but we may have to put them out of our lives because they become stumbling blocks or occasions for temptation. If there is something, if there's somebody, if there's somewhere that presents a temptation to you, you must avoid that thing, that place, that person. That's our calling. That's how we fight this spiritual warfare. Father, give us strength to flee temptation. And if we cannot flee it, to fight it. But then also this. We pray that the Holy Spirit will empower us constantly and strenuously to resist and fight against all evil, especially my own sin. The sixth petition is a prayer for the Lord to equip us for spiritual warfare against our sinful nature, to equip us for daily conversion. That's your biggest battle, and that's my biggest battle. The battle against our own sin. Using that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to slay the old man, and to cut off his members, and to put away his deeds. Using that same word to cultivate the life of the new man and quicken that new man in all of the spiritual graces of the Christian life. Sixth petition is a prayer, Father, empower me to mortify my old man and quicken my new man. Empower me for battle against all evil. We've seen our need. We've seen the petition that we must pray because of our need. Now let us see the comfort we have in praying this petition. The comfort is that Father answers. Remember who we are praying to. Not the distant God, but our Almighty Father, who has redeemed us with the blood of His own only begotten Son, who has made us His children and heirs. There is nothing more pleasing to Him than hearing our cry for forgiveness and granting that forgiveness. There is nothing more pleasing to Him than hearing our cry for deliverance and granting us that deliverance from evil. The comfort that we have is that we have a deliverer, an almighty deliverer, a deliverer who loves us and will surely save us, a deliverer who gives us certain victory. Victory both in this life and complete victory in the life that is to come. God hears our prayer, and He grants us victory over our enemies. Yes, there is a mighty struggle in the Christian life. Yes, there are times when we feel like we are not fighting in victory. There are times when there are setbacks. There are times even where there are melancholy falls. But the outcome of our spiritual warfare is certain. It is never in doubt. Victory is ours. Where do we see that victory? We see that victory in Christ. Christ, our King, our representative, our mediator, to whom we are united. Look at His life. Look at His ministry. His life and ministry was the conquest of all evil. He overcame the devil. He overcame the power of sin. He loosed the cords of death. In the most surprising and startling way, by yielding Himself up to be crucified on the cross, where by the instigation of the devil, the wicked world and the false church united to slay the Son of Glory. But by His death on the cross, in the unfathomable wisdom of God, He secured for us eternal salvation. He accomplished the victory. His death on the cross conquered Satan, broke his dominion, crushed the serpent's head, and His resurrection from the dead destroyed the power of death and brings life and immortality to His people. And now all of those blessings, Christ's victory on the cross, are freely given us. Our spiritual warfare is won in principle. The victory is ours in principle. What remains now is for the outworking of Christ's victory through the application of the blessings of Christ to us, His people. The struggle is real. The warfare is real. There are setbacks. There are falls. But the victory is absolutely certain. That's our comfort. As we march to war as the church militant, as we go to war each day in the battle of daily conversion, the victory is secure in Jesus Christ. But we also have comfort in the knowledge that we shall have complete victory. That's where the catechism ends. We pray for grace to constantly and strenuously resist our foes till at last we obtain a complete victory. Till at last, and those are beautiful words. Till, there's certainty there. All of our warfare will come to an end. Evil will meet its final end. In the day appointed by God's counsel, the day of Christ's return, we shall obtain complete victory. And on that day, our warfare will cease. Our enemies will be cast forever into the lake of fire. That old man of sin will be gone, and we will never have to fight again. We will never experience warfare again. Only peace and joy forever in the complete victory that we have in Christ's kingdom. Let that hope and that comfort lift our souls, strengthen our hands for the spiritual warfare of today and each and every day of our earthly pilgrimage. Beloved, you have the victory. Now fight and pray in victory. Amen. Blessed God and Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks for Thy word. We give Thee thanks for the Lord Jesus' instruction concerning prayer. And as we finish the model prayer's sixth petition, may this instruction give us confidence in our spiritual warfare. May we march to war with this petition upon our lips, depending upon Thy strengthening grace, that we may fight, strenuously resist our mortal enemies in the confidence of the complete victory that is won for us by Jesus Christ and that shall be realized in that great and glorious day of His return. And we march faithfully under the banner of our King from victory to victory. Receive our prayer in His name. Amen.